Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the great Joe Coy comes in studio. Everyone loves Joe Coy, and we have a great time, and he's on fire as per usual. And we stumble into all sorts of great stuff, so we'll do that in a second. First, JB Weld, big or small repairs, home or garage, ordinary household glue is, well, it's got the name ordinary in it. You don't want that. If you need strong, there's a better choice. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive as our sponsor. I use it at home. I use it in the garage. We use it here in the studio. And they do everything. They got the polyurethane stuff. It doesn't foam up. They have the super glue. They have the epoxies. They have everything now. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, your kitchen drawer, your craft room. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for more than 50 years. Proudly made in the U.S. of A. For metal, wood, plastic, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Napa, Auto Parts, and more. Wherever you like it. JB Weld. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Thursday, July 11th, legendary FBI undercover agent Mike McGowan joins us at the 10E Booze and Book Club in downtown Los Angeles at 10E. Enjoy exquisite Lebanese cuisine, grab a Mangria signature cocktail, and kick back while I read from Mike's memoir, Ghost, My 30 Years as an FBI Undercover Agent. Incredibly, my own employer, the agency I had worked like a dog and risked my life for, was now accusing me of stealing almost $200 million in heroin and cocaine and reselling it on the street like a common dope dealer. How was this possible? Not only was my perfect life over and the reputation I had worked so hard to establish in the toilet, if I couldn't find a way to prove my innocence, there was a strong possibility I'd end up in federal prison hanging with some of the asshole drug dealers I'd put away. I was in for the fight of my life. Thursday, July 11th at 10E in downtown Los Angeles. The 10E Booze and Book Club. For more information, follow at Carolla Drinks and visit boozeandbookclub.com.
My son, God damn it, he's 15. There's the thing about 15-year-old boys, man. He thinks he's being slick and he's not. I keep telling him that, too. And that's the thing. If you got boys, if you got a little boy, just be honest with them. Talk to them like dudes. I can't speak for girls. I'm just saying, if you have a little teenage boy, talk to them like dudes. They'll respect you more. I don't hide shit. I don't candy coat shit. I let my son know. Like, Joe, I know what you did in there. What are you talking about, Dad? Well, I'm just saying, like, I was 15, and I know what you did in there. Like, all the creepy shit you're doing, I did too. I was just better at it. What are you talking about? Joe, come on, man. I know what you were in the shower for 30 minutes, man. I know what you did. I didn't do any. I just took a shower. I'm like, Joe, you didn't take a shower. How do you know I didn't take a shower? Joe, you were in there for 30 minutes, and your hair is dry.
Joe Coy on the Adam Carolla Show.
Tickled Pink for Joe Coy, the stand-up special, coming in hot. Watched it again last night.
You did?
Oh, God, yes. It was super funny, and it's like it was like a rock concert done in Honolulu. And in Honolulu.
Yeah.
At 9,000 seat. Amazing.
I did
rock
four
and roll
of them.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It was crazy.
I love it. Listen, I think we can all agree that when there's somebody we don't like who's a douchebag, you root against them. And
sure.
Then when
like
Kimmel
Joe.
Has success, or anybody, you know. But when guys you really like are killing it, it's equal the other direction. And that's the way we feel about Joe Coy.
I have to take these sunglasses off. I'm sorry.
They're a little douchey.
They're prescription.
They're douchey.
Remember when Joe was a humble comedian, used to come in here every week
right.
And make jokes? And now look at sunglasses in the studio.
I can't see.
Future's so bright.
Adam, thank you so much, man, for everything. You're a big part of that success. And when I shot that special, man, I just couldn't believe the turnout. It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
They were sitting behind. I want everyone to know they were sitting behind the curtain.
You couldn't even see
there were people
that.
Sitting behind the curtain. No,
just
behind
listening.
It. They couldn't even
they just taste.
Yes.
It was nuts.
Unbelievable.
Thank
and so
you.
It's a great special, and it's on Netflix, and it's there now. So.
And I produced it again.
And you did it again.
Yes.
Well,
over the budget, I went over. I dipped into my pocket. I went over the Netflix money.
Ooh. How much did this set cost? How much did
the
joke cost?
Here we go again. We do this every time, Adam.
How much?
We do this every time. We can't discuss this on air,
well,
Adam.
You just brought up budget.
But I'm just telling you, I went all in, and I wanted to make sure that my heart and soul was showing on stage, and I went above budget on that.
It looks amazing, and Joe Coy's just selling out every place, everywhere, all the time. And the tour, Just Kidding World Tour, it's coming up in, is that Wendover, Nevada?
Yeah.
And Redding, California in August, and then Alberta in September, and you can get tickets.
Do you mind if I say something?
No. Go
ahead. We're adding shows in Atlanta and San Diego. We're adding a fourth.
Never stops.
Added another show in Hawaii. We sold out the arena. And we're
so
adding
great.
Another show in Fresno. It's crazy, man.
Joe Koy, JoeKoy.com for tickets. And I just love it. I don't know how it works. I love the notion of owning your career through stand-up. When I started very early on, and people were talking about, you got to get some headshots. You got to go on audition. You got to get a resume. You got to say that you can do English style and Western style horseback riding, stuff like that. I remember looking at that because I had a roommate who was an actor, and I was like, it'll never work. It'll never work. I could never do this. But then Jimmy and I created the Man Show, and that I could do. Like,
yeah.
No one would have hired Jimmy. No one would have hired me. But we knew if we created our own thing, then we could control our own destiny. And I feel like you're doing that with stand-up. Like, you know, going out on auditions, trying to get people to think you're the right guy for the right role or the right part at the right time. It's fine, but I don't know, statistically?
Yeah, odds against you.
But building a stand-up career like you've done, obviously it can be more lucrative than even a great acting
sure.
career. And you're totally in control.
Well,
it's you and the audience.
Yeah.
And it's such a great, it's so impressive.
Man, thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
It's you're
going to
make
feel.
Me cry right now. Is that going to be good pop?
All right, yeah. Well, I'll talk to you about
put your sunglasses on.
I'll talk about dental surgery with you and bring you back to Earth.
Okay.
You had dental surgery a few days ago?
Yeah.
You had to
ripped
have
everything out.
Three teeth extracted.
I had three ripped out on the top, and then this one on the bottom. I always had this crooked tooth from my wisdom teeth growing. When I was a kid, we didn't have insurance, so I just let them grow, and then it made everything on the bottom crowded.
Right.
They pulled that out.
You got the twilight sleep.
Yeah. I was so scared.
I'm leading. This is what I'm saying. All right. I have a comedy bit that I'm going to run by you, Joko.
I love it.
I've said dentistry has evolved. Like, it used to be, here's a shot of vermouth, squeeze this spoon,
yeah,
and just
yeah.
suck
and
it up.
Hold on to Steve over here.
Hold on. Here
and
we go.
Steve, if he asks squirmy, punch him.
Right. Hey, what's that, Yank?
And you got the big, yeah, you tie your rope around your tooth, tie to a doorknob, slam the door.
And wrong tooth.
Right.
Wrong tooth. Damn it.
Then it got into Novocaine. But Novocaine was like, the needle hurts.
Novocaine hurts. Yeah.
The Novocaine hurts. Yeah. And it was like, ow, it hurts. You're stabbing my gum with a needle.
Yeah. Now my gum's numb, but I feel still right. With my tooth.
Then we got into, we'll give it a little cocaine freeze, oh, and yeah. We'll numb cocaine that freeze. Part of your gum.
Yeah.
But then they numb it, and they do that, they shake your lip. Like,
and then you do enough lines of that cocaine, you're blowing the doctor.
But they're just shaking your lip, and you're distracting you, and it still hurts injecting the stuff into it. And now, then they evolved into the nitrous.
Yeah.
That was fine. Now we're twilight sleep.
Yeah.
Like you're out.
Yeah.
You're done.
I don't like
it. You wake up with your pants around your ankles, your blouse is over your head. You were out.
Hilarious.
You were gone the whole time. Yeah. Okay. And you don't really feel any pain because you're literally,
it's like a weird dream.
It's like if you had gallbladder surgery. Yeah. Like it wasn't painful. You were passed out the whole time. But there's this psychological dynamic.
Yep.
You got it circled Monday morning, 9 a.m., and the guy's giving you the speech, you know? Well, it's like carpentry. Like, we go in there, we go with, like, a chisel, we'll take the stuff off, then we'll auger into the bone, and we'll go ahead and take a graft from a hobo, and we'll take that bone, and
then
we'll take extra gum, and we'll sew the gum, and you're like, ah!
Yep.
This is in my mouth?
Yeah.
If this was happening at my neighbor's house, I'd be freaked out right now, but this is in my mouth?
Yeah. Planks and posts?
If somebody said this is going to happen on the countertop of your kitchen, you'd be like, fuck that. But this is in my mouth.
That's in my mouth.
We're building a bridge.
So you're totally freaked out and scared going into it, right? Right. You had the surgery on like Friday or something?
I had it on Monday.
On Monday.
And it's so painful. I just saw the doctor again right now before I got here.
Right. And so the weekend going into the oral surgery, it's always in the morning. Yeah. And it's like, we need somebody to drive you and pick you up.
Yeah.
And the whole weekend's ruined, right? Well, it's just, you're up in your head.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. For the next evolution in dentistry. Again, we started with you biting a spoon while they worked on this, and we worked into Novocaine and laughing gas. We're now at the Twilight stuff. It's all emotional now.
Yeah.
It's all psychological. Mm-hmm. It's not painful, but the dread.
Yeah.
So the next step has to eliminate the psychological component of it.
Mm. There's got to be a pill for that?
Any ideas?
No. Here's how we do it.
Okay.
Here's how it works.
He's got it all worked.
I thought he was asking a question. I didn't know he had the answer.
He's a workshop in this bit, Joe.
Oh, man.
The next step of dentistry, the next evolution of dentistry. My children will enjoy this one day after we're gone. You go in and you get that checkup on a Friday morning. The guy comes bounding back into the office and he's got your x-rays and he yells, Excelsior. I've never seen something so amazing in my life. Your mouth, what do you floss? 15, 25 times a day? This is insane. You're perfect. It's perfect. Have some taffy. As a matter of fact, eat some taffy tonight and fall asleep. I don't care because your teeth are perfect and I'll see you never. And then you walk out of that office and you go, this is awesome. And that night, you and your lady, you go out to celebrate. You're out there to toast your awesome dental checkup that you had earlier that day.
You're showing pictures on your phone of your x-ray. You're like, look at that.
That's awesome. And as you hoist the glass, you feel a sting in the back of your neck. The room starts spinning and your head goes down.
Right into the Schapino.
You wake up 4 days later with bloody gauze and cotton shoved in your mouth, like on the bed. And you're like, whoa. What happened? Like you had impacted molars, you had infection. We needed to do a gum graft and a bone, whatever. And you're like, oh, I thought I had a perfect. No, it was bad. It was bad. And you're like, it's all done. It's all done. You're down 14 pounds, by the way. I blew you on the second day. You're welcome. Would that be the next evolution of dentistry?
Just come up from behind and just take you out?
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
I would.
Because right now, you got that stupid thing where I had the same things. Like, we got to take out the teeth or whatever. And then they go, we could probably squeeze you in about 30 days or something. You're like,
right.
I can't.
start thinking about events, like
plans.
I was planning on eating. Could I do that? Well, not for a while. Yeah.
Funny, I'll sleep through the night.
Yeah.
That last, right when he, the anesthesiologist, when he gives you that thing, and then it starts to close your eyelids, right before you close your eyes, he's like, promise we won't touch you.
Oh my God.
We promise we won't touch you.
What?
The last thing you remember.
What did you say? And then gone.
Where did your doctor, my guy, was playing right?
Algrim.
My guy.
Algrim. We promise we won't touch you.
By the way, a big fan of the mushroom.
We really like the mushroom. Hey, Adam. Do you know Jimmy Kimmel?
Sinister.
He always tells people.
Wait till you get a prostate exam. You haven't gotten a prostate yet, have you? Uh-uh. Oh, that's the same thing. Except
what happens there?
They talk to you about
anesthesia.
Jimmy.
They put that's anesthesia?
No. Oh, they put you under general.
No, you're talking about like a colonoscopy?
What?
Oh, no, sorry. Colonoscopy. Okay, yeah. Colonoscopy.
Prostate,
sorry.
They should not be roofing you for prostate.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Let me give you this shot so I can stick my finger up your ass.
How big's your finger?
It's weird.
That's not a finger.
Ta-da!
That's a dick.
It's a weird thing when you're on your back and you're on this gurney the whole time and everything. And it's a weird thing that go time is when the guy says, roll over on your side. Because nothing else really works. Like you rolling over on your side means I'm like taking a nap or I'm done listening or I'm arguing with my wife and I'm going this way now. But it's go time. It's like, all right, roll over on your side.
Yeah.
Those are your last instructions.
And the only other thing that I can think of, if we've all been in some sort of surgery situation, it's like you think you're going to be wheeled in or you're put in a wheelchair and then they put you. No, you just walk yourself in with your open flapping garment and then put yourself on the table and offer yourself up to the gods.
Well, Joe, you got that coming up. I'm a little older than you, but coming up, you're going to have to get that colonoscopy.
Is that where they put the water in and flush it out?
No,
that's where they put a camera up there.
You guys know nothing about your colon.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, they put a whole camera.
Oh, that's a colonic?
Yeah. You can have that done in a medi spa.
I did that right next to a Thai restaurant.
Oh,
right above the Thai restaurant. And I even went downstairs and had Thai food.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. It's right here on Lancashire and Riverside. I swear to God, I went up there. And I had him. The guy was like, yeah, we can do it. It was like two for one, me and my sister.
Wow.
You and your sister?
Yeah. I'm not lying right now.
Separate rooms.
My sister and I both had it. And it was like a two for one. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Was it excruciating?
No, it was amazing.
That's what everybody says.
Tell me about that.
I didn't lay on my side. I laid on my stomach. And there's just a lady with a hose, like literally, like she's poking a flag into a ground, like she's claiming
she's claiming it
in the name of Spain.
And then you see a window by her, and you just see these little turds, like a marching band, like a little turd marching band going across this window. And I'm just watching. She goes, oh, there it is. Here you go. Look at this. Mm. Oh, someone had salad.
Is anything like neon or like really shouldn't be there?
No, it's turd. It's all turd. Okay. And it's just, I swear, lettuce, carrots.
What? Do you get to pick your...
It was actually kind of cool to look at. I'm not going to lie. Like it starts to contract and then you see it go across the window.
Don't you feel like you're about to explode
from the inside? Yeah. Yes.
Do you get to pick out like what they're putting
hold on.
In
you? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I forgot to tell you this part. She tells you to hold it for as long as you can, and then she gives you a record. She goes, well, the last person here got up to like 6 minutes. So,
there's no way.
6 minutes?
I swear to God, 6 minutes.
I was thinking 20 seconds.
Yeah. No, I wish.
What if you can't?
And all I can see is it just exploding like a whale spout, man.
Wow.
And she holds it, and you got to hold, you got to clench it, and you feel it go all the way up. And then when you can't hold it, you tell her, and then she releases the valve, and then it goes backwards.
Oh, my God. And they have like coffee colonics. I know that they do other things besides water.
Yeah. Do they give you a choice?
No.
What beverage?
What flavor?
No. I went with lemonade.
I like zesty Italian. I can live on the edge.
It's just marinara being shot.
All right. Record holder, by the way. Mm. was set in 1974. Chuck Heston.
No shit.
Chuck Heston?
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Fast Explosion, Bruce Vilanch, 1989.
I never even got in there.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew that. I checked it. I Googled that shit. Joe Coy, you're up. You know, you're top 25-er.
Yeah. I'm right up there. I got it to about 2.5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Everywhere. How does it work with the sister?
Oh, my opener, Chase, was there, too. I forgot. He went and he shit on the floor.
Imagine.
He shit on the bathroom floor.
I have to imagine that happens a lot.
And then, this is the funniest part. I forgot to tell you this. I can't wait to call him and tell him that Chase DeRusso is his name.
He's the best.
At Chase DeRusso. Follow him. This is the funniest.
I love him.
So he left, right? So we all came together. But for some reason, he's like, I'm going to go home. He goes like that. I'm going to go home. Because he shit on the floor. Like when they were done, he went to the bathroom to change back, and then he said he couldn't hold it, and it just came out. There was more water in him, and it came out. So anyways, he said, I'm going to go home, because he said he didn't feel right, and he walked home, and he said when he crossed the street, he shit his pants when he crossed the street. He said that he couldn't even hold it, and it just poured out of his mouth.
This is why Joe's number one, everyone.
Which is kind of fucked up by the doctor. They should have completely drained you.
Yeah.
They should have shaken him. But she did say, stay in there for a while. She said that to all of us. Stay in the bathroom for a while. And I don't know what's wrong with this guy. If he shit next to the toilet.
If they're flooding the colon with water, it has to happen often, right?
He said it poured out of his ass when he ran across.
I think once you evacuate, you should be able to evacuate.
You
I don't
can't
know. In terms
that,
of,
though, it's water.
Do you remember what kind of flooring they had at this place?
Slippery tile. It even had the little.
It has to be squeegeed. The caution sign.
It's better than shag.
It happens a lot.
I would do that shit like a monkey cage. I'd have cement with a drain and a hose bib. If I ran that place, it'd be all sports section and a drain in the middle and a hose bib everywhere.
Sand.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Carpet squares? Yes. No, no, no.
No Berber.
No.
Just run amok in that cage for about 30 minutes. We got Sports Center.
How much did they charge?
It was like $99, 2 for 1.
How was your sister?
My sister kept going back.
Oh, wow.
I went one more time and I was like, I can't do it anymore. My sister kept going back and then she brought her husband.
Wow. Mm.
I'll tell you, it's right there on Lancashire, right above the Thai restaurant, and Coffee Bean is right there.
Wait a minute. You said it was next to the Thai restaurant.
It's above the Thai restaurant.
Oh, no. I want to be next to it.
And then I ate Thai. I had Penang right after.
I bet they get a lot of business because you're feeling like, all right, it's time to repopulate the colon.
You're hungry.
Yeah. Wow.
Oof.
I got a feeling they own it. I got a feeling they own it.
I don't want them to be related in any way.
Was there a different? Did you feel?
Because when she stuck the tube in my ass, she goes, "When this is done, there's always Penang." And she shrugged her shoulders like it was a commercial.
Did you feel different when you were done?
Yeah, I did. I felt like a lot of shit came out. I felt lighter.
Did you feel like there's like an endorphin rush or anything like that?
I was a little lightheaded, yes.
Like an emotional component to it?
Yeah.
All right.
Chase DeRusso shit his pants when he crossed the street.
If you remember nothing else.
It was the funniest. Oh my God.
Chase.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You remember Chase?
Of course. He's the best.
He goes, man.
He has the best worst stories.
He goes, man, I'm telling you, it just came out.
This must happen all the time.
For sure. But they should have warned him. Because I stayed there. I literally stayed there.
They should lock the door from the outside.
I sat down for about 15 minutes. I was not going to leave.
Like you do with your kids?
I was like, there's more in there. I think Chase was like, fuck it. It's still in there.
They should do what you do with your kids before a road trip. Now, does everyone go to the bathroom?
Yeah. Right.
Again.
Yeah.
And they should also do that thing like after you get, like you talk about like the oral surgery or whatever, mm-hmm. or the procedure or whatever, mm-hmm. you go like, I'm ready to leave. And they go, you can't leave for like another, drink some orange juice, have a cookie. Yeah. We'll let you leave in about 45 minutes.
Right.
Like, they should do that.
Yeah.
They should put you on a toilet and go, no, we'll feed the meter for you.
Feed the meter.
A little 5-point harness.
Yeah.
We got a cup full of quarters. We got you.
That's right.
Yeah.
The meat crab will be downstairs waiting for you when you're ready to eat.
Adam, okay? Describe the room again where they have to drain. Just say it one more
time. It's a monkey cage. Like? It's got all, first off, there's a slight
slope
and really it all heads toward a floor drain in the middle.
There's a 1.5%
and every 8 feet, there's a hose bib with the hard spray.
Yeah, the hard spray.
Yeah.
The industrial strength.
Yeah.
You remember Glass? Did you watch Glass, the movie?
Yeah.
Where they contain Bruce? Mm-hmm. That high pressure car wash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what they need to put that in the room.
That's what we need.
It's stainless steel, by the way.
Oh,
it's
really?
Stainless steel.
Yeah, but that's expensive. What I'm talking about is a lot cheaper.
This is cement and a hose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let me hit Tommy John, speaking of underpants. Summer. Let's keep those in good shape this year.
You'll never ruin these.
Yeah, we got a pair of those for his opener.
Yeah.
Cool cotton underwear for men and for women. Breathable, lightweight fibers keep you 2 to 3 times cooler, and they dry 4 to 5 times faster. That's what you want than regular cotton. Men's underwear features the contour pouch. It keeps everything neat and nestled down there. I'm wearing mine now. Everyone, they're the best, and especially if you exercise, you work up a little froth, and I'll hang them out and dry them, and I'll put them on the next day, put a little shot of talc down there. Save the environment, man. It all dries so fast. Men's and women's underwear. No wedgie guarantee, and legs that never ride up. Waistbands that never roll down. It's all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free, guaranteed. It's Tommy John. No adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam now for 20% off on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, Gina Grad, shall we do some news, baby girl?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Donald Trump became the first sitting American president to visit North Korea over the weekend when he met that country's leader in the demilitarized zone and then accepted Kim Jong-un's invite to step into the country. And we have some video of that. There, the two leaders posed for photos. They exchanged pleasantries. They vowed to resume negotiations about ending North Korea's nuclear program. So Trump was there, 3:45 p.m. local time, walked 20 steps into the North Korean side of the DMZ. Kim told Trump through an interpreter, "It's good to see you again. I never expected to meet you in this place." Trump responded by saying, "Big moment." And later said he would send Kim an invitation for a White House visit.
I got a theory.
No.
Why Trump likes this guy so much.
Why?
If you ever see yourself in a picture next to Jeff Probst, you go, "God, I have a fat head.
So dumpy.
I look like shit. My head looks like a big old fat head on me." Because that guy's head, the guys have the dimples and the cleft and everything.
That strong nice jaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen. Don't take any fucking selfies with that dude. You'll look like a giant fucking... Someone took a tub of butter and just put it on top of your shoulder. Like, oh, that dumb guy. And by the way, you look dumb. You look like you're thinking of stupid stuff.
Yeah. Aaron Eckhart shows up, you run.
You fucking run. So, you're Trump and you're doing a photo op. You don't want Justin Trudeau.
No, you don't want
Putin either.
No. We found a guy with a bigger bucket head than Trump. Trump's like one of the biggest heads of any president.
Yeah.
And this guy's got even a bigger bucket head.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And when you're taking that photo op, you're going to look like the trim, smart one in that group.
Get
in between Viggo and Probst, you're fucked.
It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great point.
Yeah.
That's why he made the trip.
That's why he made the trip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un is the new black.
Mm-hmm. Makes you look good.
Makes you look thin.
Yeah,
he's
like, vertical stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Contoured makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lose weight. Just get a new friend. Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Instead of losing weight,
why don't you gain a friend?
Hi, I'm Kim Jong-un. Yeah. You're always fat. People make fun of you.
Right.
Call you fatty.
Mm-hmm.
Let me stand next to you.
That's right.
Look skinny today.
That's right.
The Kim Jong way.
That's right. That's good.
Yeah.
Adam, you're fat.
Yeah.
Let me stand next to you. Now look at you.
Now look at me. I look smarter and thinner.
You're welcome.
That's right. He has a haircut that accentuates his bucket head as well, which is awesome.
He always looks like he's falling forward.
Stumbling forward. Didn't we find out on however many shows ago, no one else is allowed to have that haircut?
What?
That's just for Kim.
Oh, that's his haircut.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And you guys got a lot in common, Joe, because he collects his poo as well.
No.
When he travels, he takes it with him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want people sifting through it trying to find out what his diet is or any of his secrets.
No.
Yes.
He shits in a bag?
Yes. It's always collected and brought back on the train with him.
Yeah. That's crazy.
By the way, do you think anyone's trying to unravel the mystery of his diet? He eats a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Guys, you're not going to believe this. He eats a ton of cheese.
Yeah.
Actually, wait, didn't he eat a ton of cheese? Wasn't that a thing?
He doesn't want people getting his DNA or something. There's something
Meanwhile,
about
Trump wants to give everyone his DNA.
His Duke, he's trying to see it anywhere. Yeah, he doesn't want people to know what he's eating or something. Also, bad sign, I heard this on the news, bad sign for a nation. Like, we have bad sign for a city. It's barbed wire around freeway signs. And we have the placards in front of the firehouses that say, drop your child off here. If you have an infant, don't throw it in the garbage disposal. Drop it off at the firehouse. That's a bad sign for a society, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A bad sign for a nation. I heard somebody saying Trump invited him to come see the White House. It's unclear if he has a plane that'll make it.
Yeah, that's...
that means you could probably make some... You've got a few holes in your national game. It's 2019. We don't know if we have a plane.
You can't get a direct to D.C., to Dulles.
Yeah, you have to fly Amelia Earhart's plane over there. We're not sure if he has a plane that'll make it. And you go, stateside. What? And then you're like, because they've cut themselves off from everything and they don't have a 777. Yeah.
You're right.
And Drake has a better plane
than the president?
Oh, sure he does.
Than Kim Jong-un or whatever.
Kim Jong-un.
The chairman.
Yeah.
That's a very
He has a better plane than the guys running a nation.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you could put that picture up one more time of Trump and Kim Jong-un. Why does every picture of Kim Jong-un look like it's a Chico's kind of day? Mm-hmm. Like he's in a sassy separate women's pantsuit. That's a Chico's kind of day commercial.
He dresses like, I think, I don't know why it's just picturing it, but in the movie Planet of the Apes, the ape female doctor, Vera
that.
Or something.
That is
dressed
outfit.
Sort of. Yeah. That's sort of how the apes dressed.
He's in Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation.
Yes, that's right.
Well, a boss lady outfit.
Right.
Okay, good for her. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Pamela Anderson's ex-boyfriend, Adil Rami, who we talked about the other day, denies abusing the star during their two-year relationship. He said in an Instagram post, he's a French soccer player, he wrote, I'll translate, "I will make it simple and super clear, and as I said before, I will not comment on the details of my life with Pamela. I do want to tell you that these accusations of violence are completely false, and I cannot let that go." One of her claims last week, she said that Adele cheated on her and crushed, quote unquote, both of her hands during a fight. Following the allegations, he was suspended as the ambassador for a French domestic abuse charity.
You crush somebody's hands during a fight, that means they punched you in the forehead.
You're
right?
trying to or defend yourself. Something. I don't know.
I had a breakthrough as a father today. I was listening to Joe's stand-up special, and I agree. The whole parenting thing, the fucking kids, it's all out the window. Mm-hmm. And somebody said to me today, they said, what about Sonny? How you doing with Sonny? And I was like, well, he doesn't speak any languages other than English. He doesn't play an instrument. He's not that respectful of the elderly. He's not a very good student. He can't code. I've not taught him anything, and he's good for nothing. But I do have one achievement that I can claim that trumps all of those. He hates soccer. I have made that boy hate soccer, and he fucking hates soccer.
Good, man.
And while, again, he's a shit student, he can't do long division, he probably can't conjugate a verb, he speaks no Spanish, he does nothing,
but
he has no work ethic, but he hates soccer, and that, for me, is my crowning achievement.
Can I say something? Can I say something? On what you just say, well, on what you just said, I would hire him.
Wow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Good for nothing.
Right.
Not educated.
Still can't follow directions.
Not motivated.
Yeah.
But hate soccer. You're hired.
That's right. Wow. Sorry I'm 45 minutes late, but I was buzzed, so I didn't want to come in too early and throw up.
All good, buddy.
But I hate soccer.
You weren't watching soccer, were you?
No.
Someone just got promoted.
I thought I've successfully instilled one thing.
Yeah.
Not work ethic.
No.
Nothing else.
No grit.
But he hates soccer, and I'll take full credit for that.
Yeah.
Adam, have you tried going to a soccer game?
No.
Okay.
It's enough. I can't watch. If I can't enjoy whatever you're doing on TV, then I cannot enjoy it in person. That's my new thing. Now, I can enjoy MMA on TV, and then I could enjoy it in person. I can enjoy porn on a computer. I think I could enjoy it in person as well. If I'm watching soccer in high def with 15 cameras and I'm bored as shit, I'm not going to have any more fun when I get in that stadium. That's my thing.
I don't blame you.
So anyway, Sonny hates soccer.
And you're done.
And I'm a hero.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're done parenting.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of bloody sports, a UFC fight got so bloody Saturday night, the referee had to call it. I don't know if you saw this footage.
Really? I've never seen a fight that the ref stopped because it was so bloody.
The ref basically said in 15 years, this is the first time. So Fox News reports that the Cage Warriors 106 welterweight championship match between Nicholas Dalby and Russ Houston abruptly ended Saturday over the amount of blood splattered on the mat. The fight was ruled a no contest. Houston ended up retaining the belt. The bout was called in the third round as the two competitors could barely stand up straight. And referee Mark Goddard, who officiated the match, said that in the 15 years he's been doing it, he had to make that call.
Well, I've seen it so bloody that the guys are so slippery that they literally can't hang on to each other. Then
it's like Django Unchained.
By the way, back to the monkey cage theorem. These guys, sometimes the bloodiest fight of the night is the prelims.
Just because
it's just two guys who don't care, and they're just trying to make a statement and whatever. So I've seen prelim fights where it's the bloodiest fight ever, and then at some point, so what if I said this to you? What if here was our fine? It's like, look, you're the main event, you're the star of the show, you're the star attraction of the show. Even forget, let's just say it's stand up comedy, Joe Coy.
Okay.
You're the big star, you're the big draw. There's 9,000 people in this place, and they're all here to see you, but you have an opener and you have a middle.
He's pooped his pants.
His pants. And then you're going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, okay. And then after the middle, you're going to walk out on stage. Oh, I'm going to need you to get barefoot and get in your underpants, and the stage can be covered with blood.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah,
that'd
weird.
Be no
the
good.
The canvas is a canvas. The UFC is like a canvas.
Of course.
It gets covered with blood, and the next guy who's doing the main event is barefoot.
Ugh.
And he's in board shorts or his underpants, but he's barefoot, and he has to go walk into this place where there's this covered in human blood.
Smile.
And he's barefoot.
That's gross.
And it's canvas, and it's not a monkey cage.
Call back to your idea for a solution for the graffiti on the signs, the tearaway. Why not just have tearaway canvas? Like, you know, there's just surfaces.
Good point.
You know, like, it doesn't have to be thick, like a mat.
Unbutton it, and there's another one underneath.
Yeah,
exactly.
They clean the field on the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Right, like
they drag the field.
Yeah. I agree. Just put the big Takati banner over it or whatever.
Oh.
They do tearaway goggles, tearaway everything all the
just
time.
Just a film. You know, it has to be slick. It can be, you know, sort of tacky or something
like
that.
Yeah, you'd have to figure out something that had the right gription. Mm-hmm. And then if there was a bunch of fights, by the way, there's not only is there going to be blood, there's going to be some snot rockets,
a lot
of sweat, tears,
a lot of body fluid,
little semen in there, whatever. Some guys really enjoy fighting, Joe.
Yeah.
Anyway, you'd have to, just tear it, just roll it off and pull it away.
The ring girls can do it.
I have found, I was saying that with the freeway signs. Put a thin film over them like you do on a car, like the bra to protect a car, clear coat. And then when the gangbangers tag it up, you just peel it off, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting. I wonder if they've ever done it, because I have seen guys enter the ring for the main event and it's a bloody mess on the ground.
Well, that leads to my next thought is, I think it's cool for them to have them being the organization, the UFC, the whoever, the Bellator, to have a bloody mat. Like, yeah, these guys were like kick each other's ass. That's the business we're in.
Do you think
it's cool
because
to get Hep C?
Yeah,
I don't know what they're thinking about.
Do you think it's because there's a bunch of dudes and they think that's like, no, that's not a big deal. It's just blood.
A little blood.
Is that why they're not doing anything? Because one thing I hate also when you watch boxing, Adam, is when the corner squirts a bunch of water
blood.
And then all of a sudden it's slippery in that corner and fighters are slipping.
Right.
And like, you've known this since the beginning of boxing that happens. Why don't you guys lay something down there that you can tear away? Yeah.
Boxing,
it's the same thing though, right? Every fight they're always like, there's too much water in that corner. It's like, no shit.
It's completely, it's happened a million times. The reason I'm speechless is because it drives me insane. There's two things in boxing. They have a canvas, but in the middle of the canvas, it's got Monster Energy Drink logo or whatever. And you'll go like, oh, whenever they fight in that part of the canvas, they slip because the canvas is not slippery, but the logo is slippery. Wow. And they'll slip on that part of the canvas. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the NFL football game at the old Oakland, whatever. And they're like, he's kicking from the pitcher's mound and they've left the rubber in place. He's going to be a tough kick. It's like, this is a professional game. They win this, they're going to the playoffs. If they don't, it's like, would you figure it out?
Baseball diamond?
Yes, they're playing on a baseball diamond. Figure this out. The worst in boxing is the white cloth tape. The white rip. And so what happens in boxing is they get saturated with water. Mm-hmm. They're sponging on them, the sweat everywhere, they're clinching. Everyone, inevitably, the stupid white medical tape gets saturated with water. It's gauzy and it comes undone. And then 3 inches of it is flapping. In the middle of these two guys beating the crap out of each other, the ref steps in. It's like, hey, that guy, this. And then they go to the corner and the guy's got more of the same tape that failed the first time, and they wrap it around. It takes a bunch of time. They use duct tape. Duct tape never fails.
And my favorite,
never comes
my
undone,
favorite,
but they went back to
you
it.
Know, my favorite part is when they also do that, they always like, oh, we don't know where the tape is. They act like they don't know where the scissor is. They don't know where the tape is.
Like
giving
that.
Them more of a rest.
Right.
It's
right.
Full of shit. My whole thing with that tape, though, you can rip it with your fucking finger.
Right.
The ref can just rip it.
It's
rippable tape. Even if it was duct tape, you can rip duct tape.
But they switched to duct tape and it never failed. It never came undone because duct tape is bulletproof and it wouldn't do that. But then they went back to the cloth tape. Like, why
are they doing that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't even know. This should be
also,
you.
Also,
because I think that
can't we work something out that doesn't involve duct tape or even tape? Like, these two warriors are going into the squared circle.
Figure it out. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Using tape.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be nice.
Figure it out. That boxing gloves used to have thumbs that were detached, and guys would get thumbed all the time. They'd go, oh, that guy thumbed. He got thumbed. The guy's eye screwed up with the thumb, and they have to stop the fight, whatever. At a certain point, they sewed the thumb in, so the guys couldn't get thumbed anymore.
Right.
Well, go ahead and modify it so you can't get laced.
Yeah, feel free.
They only wrap the tape around it so the guys don't get the laces. By the way.
What the fuck? Really?
Yes.
That's the only reason why, it's because of the lace? I thought it was to keep the gloves on tighter.
No, it's
to wrap
just,
it tighter it's, around the wrist.
It's just, well,
probably some stability there, right?
Their hands are taped.
It's literally just for the fucking laces. Get rid of the laces.
I know. Let's go with Velcro, people.
Thank you.
They tie it up. It's partially probably so it doesn't come untied, the bow, but I mean, I don't know. Work out the glove. Would you people spin on it? A bunch of tape around it?
It's been enough time.
Also, if you're the ref and you see the wisp of cotton, which is the white tape that's hanging from Mike Tyson's glove, let him continue.
Yeah.
He's throwing uppercuts that would kill a rhino. Oh. And we're worried about this little wisp of tape.
Yeah.
What damage might this cause?
Yeah.
What's the real danger here?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That uppercut will break his jaw, but that tape?
Ooh.
Decapitation.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Well, as we turn the corner onto summer, we find out which U.S. cities are the most unfaithful, according to the 2019 Infidelity Hot List from Ashley Madison. Maxim, yeah.
Well, it used to be an easy answer, which whatever city Harvey Weinstein was in,
yeah, that's right.
would immediately get the
that's
crown.
Right. The target moved.
But now he's out of command.
That's right. Maxim announced that the cheating-friendly dating site's latest list was determined using data from the number of people in each city basically signing up during summer. Mm-hmm. And after all the data was compiled, it turned... Well, do you want to guess?
Yeah.
Okay. I have the top 20, so you can guess
anything. Cheating cities.
The most sign-ups for Ashley Madison. Madison in the summertime. So, yes, the most unfaithful cities.
Some godless place like Los Angeles or New York.
Mm-hmm. You got to figure a certain... is there a certain income you need to like join up with these kinds of services?
Miami?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's not Detroit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Miami feels pretty good. Mm-hmm. And there's also... San Francisco.
Are we thinking the wrong way? Is there a sort of repressed thing, you know what I mean, where you're going online?
There's always the Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this.
Bible Belt, maybe?
I'm going to tell you this. No LA, no New York in the top 10.
Okay. Mm. Maybe we change our thinking. Go kind of Bible Belt.
Like Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's good.
Atlanta's really good.
I like the Miami thought, and then I'm going out on a limb. Plentywood, Montana.
Where Bertram's from?
That's where Mr. Bertram's from. Yes, there is a Plentywood, Montana.
Atlanta is number 6.
Wow.
And I'm just going to read you the top 10 going down from 10 to 1. Gilbert, Arizona.
What?
That does anything for you.
Wait, what university is in Gilbert?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right?
Tampa, mm-hmm. Las Vegas, Cincinnati, Ohio, mm-hmm. Atlanta, Georgia, Fremont, California.
Fremont?
Northern California?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's a very small town in the East Bay.
They are very bored.
That's
Pittsburgh,
wild.
Pennsylvania, St. Louis, Missouri, Newark, New Jersey, and Orlando.
Wow.
Most signups.
Yeah, we suck.
Pittsburgh is one of those places which is, I don't know if you'd like this as a city or not, but I mean, there are cities you go to that you've heard a lot about and you don't really need to go back, or you kind of go, I don't know. It's sort of like first time I went to Paris is amazing, but London is like, well, it's all right.
No, it's
all right. Kind of the food wasn't that good. It's pretty expensive, real expensive. It's okay.
No.
Pittsburgh is one of those places where you go, hey, Pittsburgh is nice. Like everyone comes back. It's a weird kind of low self-esteem city thing that everyone pictures smokestacks and guys.
Soot.
Yeah, soot and picture All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise and all that. And you go to Pittsburgh and you go, that's pretty nice, but it's based on super low expectations. Yeah. And if you were thinking of it like you'd think of Seattle or San Francisco, you wouldn't do that.
Never go back. But you think of it dystopian.
Right. And then you come back and you go, it's nice. It's really nice. You got the Permanente sandwich. You put the french fries on the sandwich. Right. It's pretty good.
Yeah. You know? They always have a did you know.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Yeah, yeah. Did you know?
Hot sauce came from...
Right. It was invented.
Yeah, it was invented there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember a while ago, and I know Brian will, because I think Christy had some insider info on this Taco Bell hotel.
She's all about it, man.
Well...
That's her company.
Mark Geragos...
They weren't allowed... What?
Wait.
Sorry, Geragos sent me something.
Oh, I was going to say, is he an investor?
Well, what happened? They did a hotel takeover?
Yeah,
did they do his hotel? Yes.
They did. That's Mark's hotel?
Have they announced?
Oh, yeah. I have questions. So this was their latest marketing venture. It's this pop-up hotel in Palm Springs. The rooms sold out in 2 minutes to have the Taco Bell hotel experience. It's called The Bell. And Taco Bell executive Jennifer Arnold said in a statement, "We're excited to give a peek into Taco Bell's first hotel that is truly Taco Bell luxury at a value as we evolve how fans can celebrate with the brand this summer and beyond. And this includes room service with, you know, cheesy breakfast burritos delivered to your room.
My mouth
you
is
can
watering.
Float across the pool on an inflatable sauce packet.
This is brilliant.
The hotel will
this
be open
brilliant.
From August 8th to 12th, and it's sold out in 2 minutes.
Wow. Wow. Wait, how many rooms? Do you get the capacity?
You tell me. I didn't know it was Mark's hotel.
This is Mark's hotel. He's a genius.
Oh, Christy's part of this.
Yeah, it's her company.
Yeah, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't get how stuff works.
We're calling her right now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, insider.
Brilliant.
See, my feeling is, here's the way I feel. I have a theory, and my theory is my land of the lost theory, which is the entire world. Everyone on the planet could be broken into one of two groups. There's the groups that have never heard of Land of the Lost, so we shouldn't make a feature starring Will Ferrell. And then there's the other half of the world who has heard of it and hates it. So why would we make a movie?
Yeah.
Now, listen, I like Taco Bell, but I don't...
And I like Sleazaks.
I don't think of it Sleestacks.
Oh, is that what they were?
Yes.
See, I'm in the group that doesn't
but
know.
But I don't think of Taco Bell when I think of luxury or vacationing or whatever. I think
this
of it...
hipster irony.
I think of it when I used to work construction and I wanted a bean burrito. Right.
I did not know this until Christy started working on this, but Taco Bell, and Joe, you may have some insight into this, has... like a cult following amongst some people. Like there are people who love, but like, no, for the rest of us, we're like, yeah, Taco Bell's good. It's Taco Bell.
I much prefer it to Del Taco and whatever. Mm. And I'm fine with Taco Bell. Again, no bad blood.
He's just kissing their ass because he wants to help
I tried to work there.
Oh, Christy can make that happen. We should talk to him about bringing back the
Bell Beaver. Bring the Bell Beaver back and the Frijole Cup and I'll be happy.
I love Taco Bell so much. I want to go to Mexico and eat at like the best Mexican restaurant. When they ask me how was it, I'll go, it's good. It's no Taco Bell. You should get a Taco Bell down here.
Yeah.
It's that. I love Taco Bell.
You know what you guys should do? Michelin starred Mexican restaurant.
Yeah. Christy.
Wrap a quesadilla on your tacos.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Christy.
Congratulations.
Hi.
Beautiful.
Was this Mark's place, this hotel you guys took over?
Apparently it is. Yes, that's what I've heard.
Oh, funny.
It's a weird small world.
Yeah, it is.
Garrigus' hotel.
That was total coincidence.
Took over. It's sold out. So this was gangbusters. So mazel tov to you. Give us your title again. Sorry, Christy.
Executive Vice President. And I had nothing to do with this because I joined the week right before the announcement came out. But the team that did it is amazing. They're a bunch of incredibly smart kids working with the Taco Bell team, and it's so fun. It's such a cool account.
This is going to inspire other people to do other things.
I'm not going to a KFC hotel.
A Denny's cruise?
Not yet.
No, but Denny's cruise?
You're not going to a chicken hotel.
No, but maybe...
Hi, Joe.
Maybe like Sonic Burger takes over a crematorium or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Charbroiled.
That's right.
Chick-fil-A church.
Sizzler took over an AIDS hospital.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Do they still have the salad bar?
I'll get
tested.
They've doubled down on the sneeze guard. Sorry. Sorry. So but there's going to be more of this, right? Like, it's going to keep going, right?
No, right now, just one thing.
Well, he's asking, there will be other companies who will consider this.
Yes, but I don't know if anyone's going to do it better than Taco Bell.
No.
I mean, waking up to like a Taco Bell room service menu is pretty wild.
Del Taco's looking into a couple of motels.
Yeah,
that's going to be hot.
That's right. You get an old taco, that's it. But I mean, you have hot sauce inflatables by the pool. Like, I don't know what I need to do to get one of these, but I need to know somebody.
Christy, are you going down there for it?
Unclear. I might go down early to check it out, but I mean, the list is hot and heavy, as you can imagine, and they're keeping it super small.
Here's a question.
If only knew the boss.
No. I don't know if you know the ins and outs of this, but like, we talk about this kind of stuff where it's like, if Tarantino wants to take an obscure song and put it in his movie, the record company or whoever owns the publishing still goes, well, you got to pay us $50,000. Right. And then my argument is you should pay Tarantino to get your song in his movie back on the chart.
Sell a million copies of that. Yeah.
So if you're Taco Bell and you're Mark Garagos, and Mark Garagos goes, hey, Taco Bell, you got to pay me to use my hotel. And then Taco Bell goes, what are you talking about? I'm going to get your hotel more free, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How does that conversation work?
So, again, I was not privy to any of it. I would just imagine that, I mean, I don't know if Garagos loves Taco Bell. Maybe he's like a huge aficionado of like nacho fries. I couldn't tell you. But I would just imagine that the brand equity, to be all nerdy for a second, of Taco Bell is strong enough and the fans are so rabid. I mean, again, this thing sold out in 2 minutes. Like 2 minutes. Okay, I can imagine the mutual benefit.
How many rooms was that? How many rooms?
You know what? I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a small hotel. It's a boutique, and it's running.
Adam, we talked to your supervisor.
Chris says 70.
Is there someone under you that we can talk to?
Even people in the building don't know, but it's running from August 8th through the 12th. So
that's
amazing.
Right.
I don't know. We think 200 a night, something like that.
That's a lot of rooms. 70 rooms.
Is the hotel on the border?
Of Desert Hot Springs?
Yeah, yeah. So that way you can rent for the border.
There's all sorts of puns. All the puns, Joe. Everything, yeah.
I'll give your podcast a plug, by the way. Commercial grade, available on Apple Podcasts and Listener. And I have, we'll bring you back in because I have more commercials to go over with you. I was just watching one the other day.
Please tell me it was
Thanks, Christy. Appreciate it. Yes, sorry.
Of course,
Subway
no commercial.
Somebody sent me the Subway commercial.
Bizarre. Like
I want to see it.
A short film that has nothing to do with Subway.
No.
Totally inspirational. Good days, bad days.
It's a twist ending.
Yeah. It was like, what was the movie that took like 10 years to make?
Boyhood.
Yeah, it's like Boyhood.
It was the commercial version of Boyhood.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, it's a Brazilian Subway commercial?
Yeah, it's a Brazil one.
Oh.
We're pulling it up. It's
now,
long, but...
Well, and there's... I mean, it's not great audio.
Now, there's a travel advisory, which is if you go to Brazil and you get a foot-long meatball sub, you should leave with a styrofoam fake one in case you're robbed walking out of the subway. You'll hand the thief the fake sub.
Yeah, and run.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, so we have...
I mean, it's just visual.
I don't want to even play it because it's too much, but we'll break it down when it comes.
It.
It's 2 minutes of like going audio. All the way through a guy's life.
It's bizarre. Seconds.
There's no dialogue or anything in it. And then at the end, if somebody said, I will give you 1 billion guesses to guess who sponsors this, you'd never come up with it.
Know.
And at the end, it's just a Subway.
Yeah, I think it's a birth control, by the way. Plays out, but no.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So California mother is warning people to lock their phones when they toss the phone over to the toddler when the toddler gets bored because her 2-year-old daughter purchased a $430 couch through the Amazon app, according to Fox News. So this woman, Isabella McNeil, she'd been looking at couches on the app. She didn't close it out. She handed the phone to their daughter. The mother said a week later, a couch showed up that she didn't purchase, and there's nothing she can do about it because it costs more to ship it back. So the 2-year-old little Raina, she pushed the buy now button. I mean, the mom handed her the phone and there's little buttons and she pushed buy now. And it's one click.
How old is the kid?
Two.
Tess is into this now.
Yep. Yeah. McNeil quickly tried to cancel the order. It was too late. She told one of the news stations that if she returned it, it would cost a $79 restocking fee and would need to pay $100 to ship it back. So now she's trying to sell it online and telling everybody to be more careful.
You know how I've said... The phone is sort of a tell for where you're at in your life, which is back when there was a phone or even a cell phone now, but back when like the phone would just ring. And I said, if the phone rings and you like stare at it, like who's that?
Who could that be? Yeah.
Who's that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to chance it.
You're running through a catalog of who it could
be.
You're
going through a catalog of people you're not getting along well, family members, someone you owe money to or whatever. Yeah. And you just go, oh, fuck it. Let the answering machine pick it up. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
And I said, if you dive on the phone on the first ring, hello? That's a bad sign. That's desperate and lonely and everything. I said, the most even you could be is the phone rings and you go, well, I'll just answer the phone with no thoughts about who it might be, right?
Right.
Is the evenest and the best you could be in a relationship of just leaving your phone wherever, like without the punch-in code.
Yeah.
Like you walk in,
protected.
Where you set your keys or your sunglass down, your phone just goes flopping down or it's on the countertop getting charged, a kid's phone or whatever. You don't have a code. It's just there for the world to see. Anyone who wants to walk by and pick it up and see who's been texting you or whatever. Does that mean you're the evenest? Is that sending the message?
100%.
Right?
Yep. I think the greatest compliment Gina ever gave me was when I used to show you pictures of Tessa as a baby, and I just hand her my phone and go, hey, I'm going to go scroll through. She's like, thank you. I appreciate it. Like, because, you know, people have photos they don't want you to see or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, don't
worry. Yeah, I would never do that. That's bad form.
So the best you'll ever be in your own head alone is the phone rings and you just, with no thoughts, I shall answer.
No.
And the best you'll ever be in a relationship, male or female, is I've come home and I will throw my phone down and walk into the next room and take
100%.
A nap.
Yep.
That's as even. You'll never get more even than that.
If you have an insecurity issue and that's going on between the two, then
worse.
Something's wrong with you as a person.
Well,
because that, if you're dating someone and you just put the phone in front of them and go to the other room and just hang out, that's amazing.
Because
that's
if you love. Don't, it's
that's,
one of
that's, that is.
Yeah.
It really is. That's a box of secrets right there.
It's a box, and it's one of two things. You're talking shit about that person, 100. or you're trying to step out on that person. There's nothing else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but one thing I hate is when you I'm not single anymore. But when you are dating and you're on your phone during a date and you text and go and then put the phone down.
Put it down, face down.
But you laughed. At some, you responded, laughed, and put the phone down. And then you look at the person you're with.
So anyway.
Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck did you just
say?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's wrong, right?
Yeah. It's like though two people are like, under the table and they're laughing at you. And they're like, anyway, so what are we talking about? Like, what the fuck are you talking
about? What the fuck were you talking about?
I'm not there.
Yeah, that's the most even you can be is just leaving that phone. Yep.
That's the new challenge.
Ooh,
the new relationship
Adam
challenge.
Adam with the love suggestion.
Yeah. It's almost like he said this
Look
before
at
professionally.
Adam.
It could be pure apathy where you're like,
he's a joke guy.
I'm sexing with my neighbor. Who gives a shit, bitch? Where are you going?
This relationship is over anyway.
I got one more, too. Mm. Your text can't be coded. So if you're in a relationship, it doesn't come up text message.
Oh, never.
It just says the text.
The first three lines or whatever.
Right, you can read it just by looking, like right now. See that, Gina? Boom.
Yeah,
that's my text.
Oh, yeah. A lot of hot stuff going on in that phone.
No, I'm sorry. You're
Oh, you're booked in Buffalo.
There's a text.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yes.
But that's the best way.
Of course.
So,
agreed.
That is the most secure you'll ever be.
But Adam, I'm sorry. You opened up a can of words. Because then the argument is he or she usually goes, oh, but then you got trust issues.
Mm.
That's their defense.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I have it on my pass log is because, some things I like to keep private.
Right.
And I think that's bullshit. And then they make you feel bad for having trust issues with them.
That's projecting. That's Hector projector. They're trying to protect themselves.
Right? Having a passcode is normal.
No, but she should be able to have that passcode.
Wait a minute. Is it Hector projector on your side, or is it inspector detector getting too nosy?
Interesting. That is very hard
to
argue.
You could make a Hector and an inspector detector.
On the next Adam Carolla show.
he was the inspector from Speed Racer.
Oh, he wasn't?
Inspector detector.
Okay.
Not
unclear whether he spelled detector a different way.
Why didn't they make Speed Racer a movie?
They did.
They made
a weird version of
it. Did they really?
Brothers.
Super weird. Oh, God.
They were brothers
Wait a
at
minute.
The time.
Oh, that's why it was so weird.
Yeah, they were transitioning.
Wait, the Matrix guys?
Trying to turn themselves into peacocks.
Start at Emil
Hirsch. While they were making. Yes, it was weird.
And there's a name from the past.
Yes. We're looking at Inspector Detector, by the way, for
Speed
Racer.
I love Speed Racer, man.
They made a Speed Racer the movie, but they made it all weird.
Very weird outer space. Yeah.
It was like Tron-y.
And it was a big bomb, too. Like, I think it like lost
a ton
of money.
Well, yeah, obviously, I didn't watch it.
It was like, it was 2008, and
Emil
it was
Hirsch.
Like half animated and half, I don't, how would you
very
describe
CG,
it?
Very heavily CG. I never saw the whole thing. I just was aware of it because it was the Wachowskis, and they crapped the bed.
Okay, say they do Speed Racer again. Who do you want to star? Who's Speed Racer?
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, he's definitely got some wheel time, so we'll have him.
Isn't he like a kid, though?
Speed? He was a younger guy.
No,
all right.
But Tom will still look good.
I'll tell you what. Let's have Tom Cruise play Racer X. That's Speed's older brother.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
This is why I love Adam Carolla. That's why I love Adam Carolla.
Mm. Bieber for the role.
Bieber will play the part of Spritel, the young brother.
Oh,
Kevin Hart will be Chim Chim. Don't call me a racist.
Oh, my God.
Can we say that?
Do we cut this?
No, it's just that Kevin Hart has to be in every single movie ever made.
What
do you want to be? Pops Racer?
No, don't make me laugh.
Inspector Detector? Come on now. No. Trixie, his girlfriend.
Is?
I have to see pictures. I don't know any of these people.
What's wrong with you, bro?
Speed was not, at least not in our era.
No.
I loved Speed Racer. I love this part. This is my favorite part of Speed Racer. Whenever something crazy happened, he always went like this.
Do you think you could successfully sing the Speed Racer theme song?
I just know the chorus. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
What?
He's a demon and he's going to be chasing after someone. He's something, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mark V. And when the odds are against him and his dangerous work, you'll bet your life Speed Racer's gonna see it through. Go Speed Racer,
go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go!
By the way, Speed Racer is out of Japan, and it's same as Violence Fight, the video game me and Jimmy played at a golf course once, which is, and the same as Inspector Detector, which is, there's a language barrier.
Yeah.
Speed Racer it's kind of redundant. Yeah. Doesn't really make sense. Violence Fight seems like it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense.
And
Inspector Detector doesn't really need it either.
They were close. They're adjacent to everything.
Would you like to hear the cast of the movie until you have inspiration for the casting for this reboot?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they had Pops, Trixie, Mom, right. Racer X.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Of course, Emil Hirsch was Speed Racer. Christina Ricci played Trixie.
Interesting. I was going to say Kat Dennings.
Pops, in the reboot perhaps. Pops Racer was John Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Odd.
Oh, no.
Was he
I like
a big
that.
Fat guy?
He's a big husky guy.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. Mom Racer was Susan Sarandon.
It's weird.
Racer X, Matthew Fox.
Speed's brother.
Yeah, Matthew Fox.
From Party of Five?
Lost, yeah.
You know the backstory on Racer X?
No.
Racer X stole Pop's Racer. He built race cars. Racer X, when he was like 16, stole one of Pop's Racer's race cars, entered it in the Grand Prix, was like winning the Grand Prix, crashed and burned at the end. Pops was like, I'll kill you, whatever. And he ran away, and he's become the masked racer, never revealing his identity to even Speed. Speed doesn't know it's his older brother, but he's out there looking out for him.
Yeah.
And when Speed finds trouble, and he always finds trouble,
Racer swoops in.
Racer X will swoop in, and Spritel and Chim Chim always stow away in the trunk of the car.
Yeah. Always.
What's Spritel?
Spritel.
Oh, Spritel. What is that?
Spritel is
like the other kid.
Spritel.
Oh, kid?
Spritel's the youngest brother.
Oh, okay.
He's like a mechanic too, right? Or no?
No. The Pops is a mechanic. Speed's a driver. Spritel is this 9-year-old who has a chimp, and they hide in the trunk of the car.
Yeah. Sure.
And he has a weird, scratchy, annoying voice. Do we have Spritel's? Can we have any tape of Spritel talking? And he was always like wanting to go. So it's like, he'd go like, we're going to go on the volcano race. It's very dangerous. And Spritel would go, can I go? Can I go? And he'd go, no, it's too dangerous for you, Spritel. And he'd go into the trunk of the car.
Sure, he stows away.
Stows away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pops Racer 2019, Nick Offerman.
Ooh.
Yeah, with the mustache.
It's a good call.
And the mom, just give her a little turn her blonde hair into brunette, Amy Poehler. They're great together.
Ooh,
They're great together.
Yeah.
This is already a hit.
Yeah.
I'd go.
Yeah. I had a lot of bad stories. Can we hear Spritel talking?
Oh, it's Cartman.
Now they're neck and neck, and the Mask Racer is trying to make Speed crash. They both crash.
Racer X.
That's Chris Evans. Chris Evans right there.
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Tough on the air.
Tough voice. All right, let's bring it home, Gina
you
Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. You're the best, what?
Gina
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Who's coming in tomorrow, Brian?
Alan Tudyk.
Where do we know him from?
Most people know him as Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball. He was very well-known as that. But he is a character actor. He's in Dale and Tucker and Dale versus Evil. He's the voice of King Candy and your co-star in Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, really?
He's King Candy. He's doing an Ed Wynn. You know what
I mean? Yeah, he's doing Ed Wynn from...
Also, also known as a slight doppelganger of Mike Dawson.
So we'll bring him in. Vinny Tortorich is going to be in here with his pellet gun. Mm. If any birds are listening.
For Alan?
Alan knows what he did.
What was he doing on stilts?
He was doing the voice of K2SO, the droid in Rogue One, the Star Wars movie that came out about 4 years ago.
Oh, and he had to get in full...
He was CGI'd. He was a droid. So they, you know, they had to... the eye line had to match, right? 14 inches up in the air, but they replaced him with the digital character.
Wow, seems like a lot of work.
Indeed.
All right.
It's a Star Wars movie.
Joe Koy, everyone should go to jokoy.com and keep that Joe Koy freight train a-rolling.
He's Netflix.
Coming to a town near you. Coming in hot. Great special on Netflix. Crazy. Bedlam. It was Bedlam up on stage and so funny.
I love you.
Love you. 22 Hours and American Nightmare, new podcast on Podcast One as well. I got live shows everywhere. Go to AdamCarolla.com for that. Check out my special, Not Taco Bell Material. That's right. You can see that on Chassis or iTunes or wherever you get your comedy specials. And good sports coming up next. Until next time, this is Adam Crawford, Joe Koy, Gina Grad, and Bull O'Brien saying mahalo.
Promise we won't touch you.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla coming up with good sports right after this. Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. A reminder, go check out the Dave Damashek football program wherever you find your favorite podcast. Why? Because we just sat down with comedian Steve Byrne, who had just been coming down. We recorded it a couple of days ago, and he was singing songs about his experience with one Adam Carolla. He had a gay time with you. He agreed with me that you happen to be a funny person and you're going somewhere. How did you like Byrne?
I like Steve Byrne. I like Steve Byrne. I've always liked Steve Byrne. Hinch has worked with Steve Byrne.
Yeah, that came up. We just sort of stumbled into that fact. That was interesting.
I was working on a doc. He told me that he saw our Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman documentary. He told me he went and saw the 24-Hour War doc, which mm-hmm. is essentially Ford versus Ferrari, which is the Matt Damon Christian Bale movie coming out based on that. And then he had his own doc with the amazing Jonathan. So
funny,
we had all that in common.
Yeah, you guys have you have that in common. I think you kind of alluded to the fact that you more or less inspired him to take a shot at doing documentaries himself. And then he has a movie coming out about stand-up just like you made with the aforementioned Kevin Hench. Small world.
I do like that guy. And it just goes to prove there's nothing better than a nice guy.
Mm.
And if I don't like you, it's because you're a douchebag. Mm. It's not because we have a difference in opinion or we're too close. We're like, there's too much alike.
I thought of another one.
Anyone
of those.
Anyone out there who I don't like, you've earned it.
Your character who's self-important and says things that insinuate that he thinks he's smarter than anyone he's talking to and can leverage his intellect against you is the guy who says, I have too much respect for you to lie.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. that's one of his things.
I'd be lying to myself if I lied to you. And I have too much respect for you.
And for yourself.
That's right.
So we were among the things. We talked to some Penguins, of course. He's from the Three Rivers Accord, the Three Rivers area in Western PA, like myself. But we also veered into a subject that you and I used to talk about, which is you once said that if you combine quality of comedy and looks, that you might be at the top of the comedian pyramid. And I said, you know what, Steve Byrne, you could be in that conversation because he's sort of a handsome devil.
Yeah, I said that when I was 31.
Well, I'm not. You know what? I have too much respect for you to lie to you, Adam. I said, like, I don't know. Yeah, that was a while ago we had that. I don't know if he's thinking 2019, Adam Carolla. If he's still, maybe it's time one way or the other, out of a sense of, you know, out of dignity or, I don't know, justice, you pass the torch on. Win, play, show, the 2019 rankings, comedians. In combo of quality of their craft and in the looks department. He said Colin Jost, who's a longtime friend of his.
Very good looking.
Anthony Jeselnik.
Good looking.
Chris D'Elia.
Good.
Anyone
good looking
else?
In a slightly more exotic way.
Swarthy.
Well, I think if you go back to, again, it's like people age out of the business, just like the Sports Illustrated models age out of the business. Mm. Young Jon Stewart. Good looking guy.
Yeah, I brought up Jon Stewart. Yeah, that's a good one.
Dennis Miller, very good looking young guy.
He was Dennis Miller. Really?
Oh, yeah. No, Gina Grad told me that she had like a poster of him up.
Really?
In the SNL news. Newsday. Yes, he's a traditionally handsome guy. He
had no idea.
Of big hair.
Right.
So it kind of pulled you away. He had a little bit of a achy breaky head like Billy Ray Cyrus, and that Billy Ray Cyrus is a good looking guy who had weird mullety hair that kind of drew focus. But when Billy Ray Cyrus has a normal haircut, you go, oh, he's
maybe
he's
you're a, right. I'm trying to take a look at
he's
him.
He's a nice looking guy. Miller's an attract. Well, look, first off, we're doing by comedic standards.
I get it.
He's good looking. I will say young Norm MacDonald, attractive
okay,
guy.
I'll buy that.
Here's a deep cut. Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon is a tall, athletic. First off, for a
really?
Comedian, he played quarterback in college.
Did he really? Kevin Nealon?
I believe a small college. He was sort of almost a walk-on. I mean, you have your Joel McHale's. He's good looking.
Oh, what a, yes, Joel McHale. Now, if we're keeping it to stand-ups, Joel McHale has done stand-up. I mean, the soup is close enough, I guess.
He does stand-up as well. But yeah, I agree. You don't, you don't put him amongst the traditional stand-up in the stand-up department. But, young Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon is sort of surprisingly well put together guy. He's, you know, 6'4 and sort of sturdily built.
Yeah, he's a big guy, right. Yeah.
Yes. And has a good, and again, played ball in college.
I had no idea about that. Eddie Murphy. I don't know if he, because he became like a rock star. I feel like he was the first rock star comedian of my lifetime.
Oh yeah, we gotta round it out. We need some gentlemen of color on this, and if possibly of leisure or both on this list as well. Because Eddie Murphy's very good looking.
All right, fine. But if we're talking about those people as moments in history, then Adam Carolla has to be in here, right? Kimmel's better now than he was 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, but the funny's fallen way off. Hey, do you find, Gary, can you find out, and I remember doing Crank Anchors with Nealon, and I remember us talking about him playing college football and playing quarterback on a team that he like walked onto, and there's certain guys with certain athletic backgrounds that don't make sense. Like, he didn't seem to play in high school, but then walked on in college and was actually started.
Hmm.
Do you know what it is, Gary?
It says here that he played rugby. But I don't know if that was in college. There's no reference on his wiki to his football career, but give me a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
All right, give me your rate. Go ahead. One play show. Let's put pen to paper.
Pen to paper and the win place and the show.
If you want to do this for just 2019 or if you want to go history. But I don't know that I've given you enough options to make a comprehensive list, although your Jon Stewart call is a pretty strong one. Craig Kilborn, I don't think was a comedian.
No.
But
unfortunately, and the Joel McHales who do comedy, but we have to kind of think about if we're talking about stand-up comedy.
Because if you start getting into funny actors, like at the height of his powers, like late 70s, Chevy Chase and Foul Play, I think was considered a Coxman.
Right. All right.
He went to Sacred Heart and always wanted to play football, but they didn't have a team, so he took a night course at a nearby school called Fairfield just so he could get on their football team, and he did that for a year.
Huh.
And he played quarterback at that school. That's what it was.
Fun story.
And his dad worked for Sikorsky Helicopters. These are all things I know about Kevin Nealon.
That is crazy. That's a weird bit of recall. How about Dan Cortez, the guy from MTV?
Oh, yeah, the best of all.
I don't think he was a Jerry right. Seinfeld.
Nice, but not in the group we're talking
Jordan
about.
Jordan Rubin.
Not a comedian. all right, I'll put Jesselneck up there. I'll put him at the top.
Wow, good for him.
I'll put young John Stewart.
Okay.
Although not the height you're looking for in a leading man. And I'll just go with my first impulse, the young Dennis Miller.
Okay, Dennis Miller.
Can I
you know
an
what?
Honorable mention I don't know if you guys brought up?
Mm.
I don't know if this qualifies because I don't know if he's done a lot of stand-up, but Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the boyish thing.
Yeah.
I would like an honorable mention as well.
Jimmy
Fallon, Nicole Kidman. Yeah. Nicole Kidman wanted to date Jimmy Fallon when he was a youth. Nicole Kidman.
Comedy subjective.
I'm going to go. I'll go with the young Fallon. I like young Fallon's good submission. And
I like your Norm MacDonald call.
Famously,
if you're going history.
Famously, L. McPherson was chasing around Norm MacDonald back in the SNL days. So
wow.
L, I think, trumps.
There is something weird
Nicole.
About it being on SNL. I know, I mean, you know, obviously, oh, they're on TV, but I don't think every guy who's funny has the appeal to high end. Like Scarlett Johansson is now engaged to Colin Jost.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations to everybody involved. Anthony Jeselnik, Dennis Miller, and Steve Byrne. What do they all have in common besides being handsome? They're from the banks of the Three Rivers.
Wow.
How about that?
All right. Can we take a break from being gay for a second? Just a brief interlude from being gay. Let me tell you about teencounseling.com. You can connect your 13 and 19-year-old with a licensed professional counselor where they spend their time on the smartphone. That's where they are. So let's interact that way. Start with a short questionnaire. Help them understand your teen and their needs. Then you're matched with an available therapist to start communicating within 24 hours. You can review their credentials and directly communicate with their counselors to make sure it's a good fit. Easy and free of charge to change counselors if needed. More affordable than your traditional counseling and financial aid is available. Visit teencounseling.com/Adam. And help your teen take charge of their mental health. Take the Adam Carolla Show listeners, and my listeners can get 10% off. 10% off their first month at teencounseling.com/Adam. It's a topsy-turvy world out there, man. Let's get that teen's head right.
Well, here's a little pick-me-up for you, Ace. Today is July 2nd. That means that we are now inside of a month. On August 1st, the Hall of Fame game that is played in Canton, Ohio, kicks off. I know it's just preseason football, but I, at least, that first series, that first quarter, at least, you get back into it. Oh, it's almost here because now you know it's in the air. So football is nearly upon us. Exciting stuff. We'll talk some football on tomorrow's Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek out. Good
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail. Here's the number, 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on everything. Go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.